Today with Joseph Prince.
When you're born again, what literally happens is that life was infused, life was imparted into your dead spirit, and your dead spirit is quickened. You become alive. When Jesus rose from the dead, you arose with Him in that life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And your life is now hid with Christ in God. Once you receive Christ, you will never die, all right, spiritually again. Because that life swallows up death. And even your actions cannot remove that life. What we want is the life of God that Jesus says He came to bring us. Hallelujah. And child of God, you have that life. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He wants to heal. Amen. He wants to heal you even today. If you're watching this right now, you're listening to the right word that God has for you. Amen. During this season, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you know that when Jesus came, His primary purpose is to give you life and life more abundantly? And yet, we are caught with this idea that Jesus actually came to make bad people good. No, Jesus came to make dead people live. Hallelujah. Man has died because of sin. Death came in because of sin. And even though they are still alive physically, death has set in their spirit realm where they connect with God. And when man sinned, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, for the past this weeks, this season, it seems like God is instructing us and teaching us along the lines of life versus death. And it seems like the Lord wants us to experience more of His life in our spirits, in our souls, and also in our bodies, especially in our bodies, because that's where we are missing it. And in these last days, you know, just to bring this truth forth, needs a further uncovering, unveiling of the scriptures. And what I'm going to share with you, you'll find that it's all in its context. You can go back and study on it. But a lot of the things that you hear will be things that maybe is fresh to you, or it'll be a truth that you've heard, but it's shared in a way that's fresh or revelatory for the first time you're seeing it. But I pray in Jesus' name that you will go back to the scriptures and you will study them in the context. Because truly, God wants you to have life, and life in its abundance, more abundantly. That's what Jesus said. So friend, remember that every time we feel depressed, every time our emotions are running into the negative realm where we get bitter, we get pessimistic, it shows that death has set in the area of the emotions. And what God wants is our spirit that is full of the eternal life or Zoe life of God permeates our souls, our emotions, and then our bodies. And that's what we call health, wholeness. When life touches your body, it results in wholeness. Amen. We can call it healing. When Jesus' life touched the leper, death departed and the leper received life. So healing is actually life, life manifested. Amen. And friends, what we want to see in the scriptures is are the secrets that God has for us. Because God said Himself, the Lord Himself said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So friend, it's not just salvation. Because here, life more abundantly means there are measures of that life. We can experience life in our spirit. That's what happens when we are born again. Truly, we receive eternal life. And friend, eternal life is not living forever. The idea of eternal life might give people the impression that it is to live forever. But actually, eternal life in the Greek is Zoe Aionon, which is actually the quality of life that God Himself lives by. Hallelujah. And that life, you know, I remember one time the Lord gave me this Hazon vision. It literally came to me in a vision form of like a pyramid. Like you see a food pyramid, and the bottom part is actually plant life. Plant bios, life. And then we have animal life or insect life on the next level. And animal life. And then go all the way down to human life. And I began to realize when the Lord showed me that human life is different from the eternal life that Jesus came to give us. And then finally, resurrection life, which is the life of God himself, Zoe Ayanon, eternal life. So eternal life is not living forever, because those who are in the place of Sheol, hell, also lives forever, the Bible says. So friend, eternal life is the quality of life that you and I live by through the sacrifice of Christ, through his resurrection, praise the Lord. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we are born again. When you're born again, what literally happens is that life was infused, life was imparted into your dead spirit, and your dead spirit is quickened. You become alive. When Jesus rose from the dead, you arose with him in that life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And your life is now hid with Christ in God. You are in Christ, and that's how God sees you forever. I'm excited about what I'm going to share with you today, because it is seldom shared, you know. And during this season, you find that God is emphasizing to us about life. Get into my word, for they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Praise the Lord. How does life look like in our relationships? When there's life, when you're full of life, you tend to become more loving, amen, more affectionate. You can forgive offenses easily, amen, because you're full of life. It will affect your relationships. It will affect the way you deal with people, how you forgive, and how you view them. Praise the Lord. So God wants you to be full of life. If you look at a child, they're full of life. They're moving all the time. And even a little child, you know, when the child sits on the chair, the child's legs are kicking all the time and he's moving. We say, sit still, sit still. You know, I mean, it's redundant for us. It is not a child's nature to sit still, right? They're moving their legs all the time. And why? Not because of boredom, but because of an abundance of life. We, because of our sin, we have grown old too early. We have lost the ability to enjoy life, to have excess of life. So children manifest the excess of life. Of course, a child needs to receive Jesus as well, but the time will come. So I believe that a child, when a child is born into this world, the child is born, I believe, even though a child is born in sin, but there is an aliveness about the child. And that's when a child passes on, right? If a child does pass on, I believe the child is immediately with the Lord. Like the Apostle Paul says in Romans 7, I was alive once without the law. I was alive once. When was Paul alive? I believe he was referring to his childhood. But when the commandment came, when the age of responsibility and accountability came, he said that when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Always remember, my friend, sin brings death. And you don't have to ask what kind of death is it. Death in all its forms. First, you die spiritually, then you die physically. Now, for the believer, listen, amen. You don't ever, once you receive Christ, you will never die, all right, spiritually again. Because that life swallows up death. And even your actions cannot remove that life. Be secure. Jesus says, I give them eternal life and no man can pluck them out of my hand. No one can take them out of my Father's hands. Hallelujah. Be assured. When Jesus says no one can, nothing can, no one can. You know, some people will try to find a way out of this verse by saying, but you can jump out. Friend, you are also a no one. No one can pluck them. You cannot pluck yourself out of the Father's hand. Eternal life is forever life of God in you. It's a quality of life, but God is eternal. Amen. And that life is eternal. You cannot sin away that life. Hallelujah. But that life produces holiness. That life produces the fruits of the Spirit. That life will produce a godly character. It's part of that life. That's why we don't focus on the character to produce character. Praise the Lord. We focus on life. How to have more life, my friend. Praise the name of Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus himself, likewise shed in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Notice that through fear of death, what fear is it? Fear of death. They were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the devil uses the fear of death to cause people to be subject to bondage. And they're afraid of flying, not because of flying, but because they're afraid to die. People are afraid to do certain things, not because of the very thing itself, but the fear of dying. And even right now, because of this COVID-19 and the pandemic we are in, the greatest fear that people have about this whole, this virus, I mean, there are many viruses in the world, but it's because it can result in death. And that's where the issue is. And the devil has caused the whole world to be gripped with fear during this time. And as a child of God, know this, the Father already foresaw all this. And Jesus himself said that before his coming, there'll be plagues. There'll be plagues. And he used the plural, plagues. So there'll be many plagues. And we've seen plagues, the Spanish flu in the earlier part of the past century. And now we are seeing this COVID-19 that's gripping the world. I'm talking about a plague that grips the entire world. And Jesus talked about it. It's a sign of his coming. And this sign is not from God. He's just telling you these things will happen. Why? Because the devil is sensing that Jesus is returning. The devil knows that Jesus will come back. And he's doing his very best to get as many people on his side and as many people to try to stop Jesus from coming. So the signs are there to tell us that he's coming. But the sign doesn't mean it's from God. I believe this is of the devil. This COVID-19 is of the devil. And the devil is trying to wipe out an entire generation, right? Not just into death, but also in grips of fear and servitude and bondage. Just like this scripture says, the fear of death will cause people to be in bondage, subject to bondage. Even disease is a form of bondage. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So oppression, healing all that were oppressed. So oppression is sickness. Sickness is oppression. So notice that that's what the world is experiencing right now. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he wants to heal. Amen. He wants to heal you even today. If you're watching this right now, you're listening to the right word that God has for you. Amen. During this season, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus came. He took on human flesh because as God, he cannot die. But he took on human flesh. The Bible says he partook of the same flesh and blood that he might die on the cross. Amen. And that he, through his death, it says in this verse, through death, he might destroy him who hath the power of death, that is the devil. Now we know that God never meant for man to die. The Bible says that Jesus must reign. Let's look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that'll be destroyed is death. The last enemy. So Jesus must reign. We know that he's in heaven today in his bodily form, a resurrected form. And he's sitting down at the Father's right hand. And the Bible says we are all seated with Christ. Amen. So he must reign until when? Until he has put all enemies under his feet. Now we know the Bible says, goes on to say the last enemy is death. So friend, if the last enemy is death and Jesus must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, then COVID-19 is an enemy. Sickness, all sickness are enemies of God. So he must reign till he has put all enemies. Friend, good news. You have only the a bright future to look forward to because with every passing day, I believe one more enemy goes under his feet. Praise the name of Jesus. And he must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy is death. And this death is referring to physical death. Praise the Lord. But then there's a generation, the Bible tells us, who are alive and remain. And this is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord. So friend, this is not a figment of Paul's imagination. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, Jesus is coming back, folks. Praise the Lord. Will by no means precede those who are asleep. So Jesus is returning. And then we who are alive and remain will not precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain. The second time this phrase is mentioned in this passage, alive and remain. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This is the rapture, harpazo in the Greek. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another. I hope you are comforted by these words. But notice the twice mention of the phrase alive and remain. When Jesus comes again, there's a generation alive and remain, the believers. And the Bible tells us that there are those who are alive and then there are those who remain alive. Now, remain alive. Alive, we know, they can be 4 years old and they're young or 10 years old or 20 years old. And usually those in that age, they don't die as fast or as frequent as those who are older. But they're alive. By sheer fact, they're alive. But what about those who remain? This denotes power. This remain alive, literally in the Greek word there, is actually like survive. They are able to go through all the sicknesses and disease that come against them and they survive and they remain alive. Hallelujah. That means God will reveal a revelation just prior to the rapture that will cause His people to not just be alive, but remain alive and thrive. Hallelujah. With that life more abundantly. Praise the name of Jesus. It's going to show up in your soulish realm. You will start to feel that life. You will show up in your body. You will manifest life, health, amen, youthfulness, energy, strength, and it will show up in your relationships. You will find yourself full of life, and those who come in contact with you, they can sense that life coming out of you. That's what how a Christian looks like. Praise the Lord. Life molds the character. Life produces the spirit. If you look at the life of a dog, it cannot produce the life of a human. Life of a dog produces puppies that have the life of a dog. It's the same thing. Life of a donkey produces the life of a donkey. The life of a chicken produces the life of a chicken. The life of a human produces human life. But what we want is the life of God that Jesus says He came to bring us. Hallelujah. And child of God, you have that life. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, when God made us, David says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He says this to the Lord, I'll praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that beautiful? He says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, when God made your body, He's referring to the body, His body here. He says to God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Even science right now is still discovering the different parts of our bodies, and down through the years they have discovered. And it just serves to show how amazing, how otherworldly our body is literally. And it is like no one can invent, we can try to create a body part and all that, but it's never as good as the real body part. You know, friend, this is how God designed us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Genesis chapter 2. And the Lord God formed man. This is how God formed man. He formed man of the dust of the ground. And the word ground here is Adama, where later on God calls man Adam. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. So how did God form man? Now, there are two parts to man, right? In this formation. God formed man from the dust of the ground. That's his body. Now, friend, the ground is called Adama. So God calls man Adam. Why do you reckon that God had to create a part of man from the ground, which is our body? Right? Our bodies are made from the ground. That's why the Bible says when God passed the sentence of death on Adam, God says, dust you are and to dust you shall return. And that's why in the final form of whether it's burial or, you know, those who cremate and all that, at the end is dust. God says, dust you are and dust you shall return. And regardless of what you say against God with the very breath that He gives you, you can blaspheme Him and all that. One day, dust you are and to dust you shall return. And friend, God never made for man to become dust. Never. God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And then the Bible says, God breathed into man. Now that's the spirit part. That's the real you. God breathed into man the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, the Bible says when God formed man, He personally used his hands to form man. There's no other creature, of no other creature is it told that the Lord God fashioned his body with his own hands. Only man. Wow. What grace. What tender care. What skillfulness that God would personally, you know, design our bodies. God didn't do that with the birds or the animals. In fact, for the rest, God says, let the earth bring forth. Let the waters bring forth the fishes, the whales. It is always, it's not his personal touch. It is just him speaking and then it was created. But with man, God personally was involved with his love because man will be the most dearly loved of all his creation. And the devil knew that. You see, God did not make the angels from the dust of the ground. But man, who will be dearly loved and greatly loved by God compared to the angels, God will make man from the dust of the ground. And there's a part of man that is his body is from the dust of the ground. But there's a part of man, actually the real man is actually the spirit. There's a breath of God. God breathed into man and man became a living soul. You know, I used to wonder, how come, why is it that God made man? God made angels, right? He didn't make them from the dust of the ground. Why did God make man, his body, from the dust of the ground? I believe that the Lord has opened my eyes to this. And this is the reason I believe that this happened. Because when God created man, who will be the most loved by him, of all the creations, God knew that there was already a rebellion among his angels, right? Lucifer, the archangel, rebelled against him in pride. What was the main thing the main sin of Lucifer? It was pride. And Lucifer became Satan. And 1/3 of the angels followed him. So there has been a rebellion even before God created man. So we know that this has transpired before Adam was created. So to remind man of the importance of humility and to always remember God as his creator and God as his father who watches over him so that man will always know that it is he didn't create himself. He cannot supply for himself, that he is always dependent on God. Amen. He's to have a father-son relationship with the father and just allow himself to be loved by God. And this is actually the essence of humility. Is to see God the way God wants to be seen. Amen. When we see God, we become humble. You know, worship is actually to declare who God is. And when we see God, it's the greatest act of humility to realize that God is almighty. God is loving and kind, righteous and true. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we worship him, it's the greatest humility that you can ever do. And of course, we don't want to focus on our humility because when you focus on your humility, you're no more humble, right? But pride is the number one reason. Pride made an angel, an archangel, become a devil. So pride in the heart of man will always cause him to be transformed. If you look at people that you know who used to be humble and all of a sudden you find that they have a certain arrogance, a certain like independence of the need for accountability or, you know, responsibility that is no longer exercised in the same way. Is it the same person that you used to know? You know, when you have pride, it affects all your relationship. It brings death into all your relationships. So I believe that pride is the mother of all sins. Just like self-righteousness actually is a form of pride. Self-righteousness is actually pride in action. I don't need God. I can make myself righteous. I will only allow God to be my God if God give me a set that I know I can keep. All right? A set of laws and rules. Because if I have a set of rules to relate with, I don't have to relate with God. It's the nature of the flesh to want someone else, a priest or a pastor, to do his relationship. You get close to God and you tell us what to do. But the flesh does not have this aversion of coming close to God. You need to realize that. And you need to destroy that because friend is robbing you. God says to everyone, everyone have access to Him. Not just the pastors, not just the Pastor Lawrences and Pastor Henry's, amen, Pastor Mark. Every one of you, you have access to God. Praise the Lord. Your prayers are heard. It's not just our prayers as pastors that God listens. Oh, you are closer to God. There's no such thing. We are all equally close to God. Now, we are not equal in terms of our ministry or function or calling. But you know what? We are all equal in our standing before God. And God hears your prayers much as He listens to the pastor that you believe that is most holy. Okay, friend? So have that realization that pride will cause you not to come near to God. And the worst kind of manifestation of pride is to produce your own righteousness. And that's why the gospel is so beautiful. And yet people feel like, you're telling me that I must confess I'm a sinner? Yes. And then number two, you must confess that Jesus Christ loved you and He died on the cross for your sins. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's no problem. You're a sinner. He's a greater Savior than you are a sinner. And you have to look away from your sin and to look to Him and realize that your whole life, praise the Lord, is a life of dependence on Him. Without Him, you cannot live. And one day we all realize that, but I just hope that people don't realize that too late. So friend, the Bible is very clear that when God made man, God made His body from the dust of the ground. And then that part of man that is a spirit is actually from His breath. So angels, because of the angels that rebelled against God and all, God wanted Adam to always remember. God wanted man to always remember. And that's why God called him Adam. Adam always reminds him, you are from the ground. You are from the dust. It's to humble him. It is to remind him that his whole existence, all right, depends heavily on God. And man has forgotten that. So how does this apply to our present day challenges in our sickness, our constant fatigue and our aging, our growing old and, you know, becoming weaker and weaker? Is this what God wills? No. Friend, when God breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul, can you imagine God telling His angels, right? Now watch him, okay? He's going to grow old. He's going to have sickness and disease. And one day he's going to die. You know what, angels? That's the best I can do. Can you imagine God saying that? No, of course not. God never meant for him to die. In fact, we read just now that the last enemy to be put under Jesus' feet, notice, is death. And God calls death an enemy. So death is an enemy, friend. So the thing is this, if Jesus delivered us from the fear of death because He destroyed the devil who had the power of death, then pray tell me, why is it that people are still fearing death among believers? I'm talking about believers. Why are we still fearing death? And why is it that we see death manifest also in our lives? It must be that there is a revelation from His Word that God wants us to have that will cause us to walk in this life and life more abundant. Amen, church? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible says when Jesus returns in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, the Christian posture, the godly posture, friends, is to wait for the Savior from heaven, not to look to the grave. That's not your destiny. People say, no, everybody dies. No, friend, there's a generation that won't die. Jesus says, those who are alive and remain. So we are to have this attitude, this godly attitude, eagerly wait for the Savior from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Hallelujah. And of all the things that the Holy Spirit can tell us about the rapture, He tells us here, He'll come to transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. Hallelujah. Our bodies that is subject, you know, to sickness and weakness and aging. This body will be transformed like to His glorious body. Friend, in heaven, you have a body. You're not floating around, you know, into someone's mansion, coming out into the backyard and floating into someone else's mansion. No, no, no. You have a body. We can touch and feel each other. But it's not a body like this body. This body is, you know, we think we are so alive in this body. Actually, we are so used to our restrictions, our limitations based on our weakness, physical weakness and conditions. We grow accustomed to it. We adjust to it. We adapt to it. But we don't realize when we have that body, my goodness, you'll start to feel so alive. Yes, even in your emotions, and you'll have that body forever. And the Bible says your lowly body be transformed like Jesus' glorious body. Notice that Jesus' body was physical. When he rose from the dead, the disciples were so afraid. They thought it was a ghost. And Jesus says, feel me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. And they touch him. All right. He was flesh and bones. But it was a glorious body. He could appear and disappear, which means what? He's no more subject. That new body is no more subject to time and space. Hallelujah. You know, it's faster than the speed of light. Praise the Lord. So we're not no more subject to the natural laws of the earth. And that's why the whole universe is our playground. Praise the name of Jesus. We are looking for the transformation. And by the way, folks, before those of you who are Singaporeans, hallelujah. In that body, in that glorious body, in his resurrected body, Jesus ate. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. I believe the marriage supper of the Lamb is a real supper. Hallelujah. You won't be having lamb. It's the marriage supper of Jesus for all of us, okay? It's not lamb being served, but it's going to be food served. Hallelujah. We'll be eating, not to for sustenance, right? We are eating for enjoyment, to worship the Lord. You know, food is actually to glorify God. In fact, when God made man, everything that God created was for man to just worship and praise God. He looked at the flower, right? They're so beautiful. And this is a normal response. If man never fell, okay, this is how he would look like. He would look at everything that's beautiful around him and say, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving me this beautiful flower to bring beauty into my life, pleasure. And God created everything for man's delight. It was for man. So when man experienced all this pleasure, even the smallest flower and all the beautiful creation of God, he will give glory to God. He will worship God. But alas, man fell. And you know, when Adam realized that he was different, was created different from the animals, when he realized, for example, you know, I can just see this sin where he picks up a flower and says, oh, Father, I worship you for this beautiful flower. And flowers back then is not like the flowers today. Okay. And he looked at the flowers and along came a horse, and the horse ate the flower. And he looked at the horse. He realized that this horse has no sense of appreciation. That's why a horse can be in a very beautiful pasture with orchard gardens all around and beautiful, majestic mountains. And he won't appreciate it. He will look down and he will eat. Most animals will just look down and eat. There's no worship from animals. But man was created with the breath of God. And man has this connection with God. It's in the same class, you can say that way, because that life came from God. So God created man for his praise, for his glory. And we find our fulfillment when we bring glory to God. Amen. And we enjoy, you know, the things that, have you noticed that the Bible says, and every time Jesus healed, the people glorified God? Which means when God is glorified, it's because something good has happened. There's some beauty revealed. There's some healing ministered. Praise the Lord. And God is glorified. We worship God because of our sense of appreciation for all that He has given us grows and grows. And then we realize it's who He is. That's worship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But alas, man fell. And Adam realized when the horse took his flower and ate it, he realized that he needs someone, a companion of the same class that will appreciate the flower as he does. So God made woman. Praise the Lord. But God had to show him his need first, that he's in a different class. And that's why, friends, the Bible says that Jesus, when he came, look at this verse again in Hebrews 2. Jesus released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, the Lord Jesus does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Now, very carefully, the Bible, Holy Spirit used the word seed of Abraham. That means for believers. He did not come to rescue angels. And here, He is referring to the angels that fell away with Lucifer, who became Satan. He did not come to redeem them. Notice that these demons and all that, they became demons. They are not rescued by Jesus. They are not redeemed by Him. He didn't die for them. He died for the dearly loved creation of God, man. Now, in a way, I believe that Satan is always jealous of that fact, all right, that you are dearly loved and the Son of God bled on the cross for you. The Son of God gave His life to redeem you. For God to create, He only had to speak. But for God to redeem, to buy back, to save, He had to bleed. And that's how Jesus became a man and died on the cross for our sins. So friend, that's the question we're asking. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. Amen. So that our bodies, you know, every time you hear the doctor telling you like, okay, you got high blood pressure. Okay, you got this condition, that condition and all that. It makes you long, you know, for that body, you know. And we are so accustomed to our weaknesses and limitations. We've learned to live with it. But know this, that in the rapture, why we look forward to the rapture, according to the Holy Spirit, it tells us He will transform our lowly bodies like to His glorious body. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Are you excited about the rapture? Are you looking forward? It can happen anytime. And so much the more as you see all the signs abounding in these last days. Israel is back in her country, right? So we know that when all this happens, Jesus says, lift up your heads. Don't look down. Don't look around. Lift up your heads. Your redemption refers to your bodily redemption draws nigh. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, He redeemed us spirit, soul, and body. We always think of like, He saved us from hell. He saved us from hell. Friend, it's much more than that. When He saved your spirit, yes, He saved you from hell. But he died to redeem your spirit, soul, and body as well. But there's a part of redemption that is redemption by blood. And then there's redemption by power. Okay, friend? Redemption by power, it comes later. So there's a part that Jesus conquered death. When did He conquer death? When did He destroy death? At the cross and in the resurrection, especially in the resurrection, when Jesus rose from the dead, His rising from the dead was for all of us, just like His death on the cross was for all of us. He rose from the dead to cause all of us, amen, to overcome death. That's why for the believer, your position today is not looking forward. One day, you know, death is in front of you. No, friend, death is behind you. Death and judgment for the believer are all behind. Amen. In front of you, you have to look forward for the blessed hope, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Christian, true Christian posture. Praise the Lord. And when we look at Jesus and we are waiting for His coming, praise the Lord, to transform our bodies, that's when there's redemption by power. Okay? Because we are all waiting for the redemption of our bodies. Paul talks about this in Romans 8. He talks about we are groaning. Right, all creation is groaning for the manifestation of you, the sons of God. You know, all creation has fallen when man fell because God made man the highest creation over this earth. In fact, God made man last. And every time God made something, God said it was good. And God saw the light and He said it was good. And God made the animals and then God said it is good. The first day, second day, third day, fourth day, every day God said it was good. When God made man on the sixth day, God said it was very good. Friend, when God made you, God said it was very good. So man was created to rule over creation. But today his crown is wallowing in the dust somewhere and man has fallen. He's subject to the smallest creeping thing. In fact, God gave man authority over every creeping thing. God said to Adam, have dominion over every creeping thing. That includes every virus. But man rebelled and man sinned, and now he's subject to even the smallest virus that he cannot see. And talking about all these viruses, friend, even all these variants that come out and all that, have you noticed that it's like an intelligence, an evil intelligence, but intelligence nonetheless? It seems like it knows, okay, now you got this vaccination going on. All right, we will mutate. We will become a variant. It's like so that we can overcome what you're trying to destroy us. We're going to find a way around. Friend, come on. There is an evil intelligence behind these things. But God's wisdom is always greater. Amen. I believe with all my heart that the provision for all of us, instead of just waiting for the body Amen. That will happen. We can actually be alive and remain. Would you like to know how? All right. And I believe that we have a little part of it. Not everything yet. In fact, I'm discovering this as I go along more and more. But I believe that this is a revelation that will happen. Not just through my ministry, but I believe that all over the world, believers will receive a revelation of how to walk in divine health, how to be alive and remain alive unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. Because that the idea there that there'll be a text for you to be remaining alive. There'll be a text. And we're seeing an attack right now to the COVID-19 pandemic, right? So, friend, as you meditate upon these truths, I pray that God Himself will speak to you. It must be a faith that comes out of the Word of God, okay? And it's not just a figment of someone's imagination. So let's look at what the Bible says and what the Lord Jesus did. I want to share with you something that God showed me from the Scriptures, and I believe it's going to bless you. Remember I shared with you about the spirit, soul, and body? You see, you are a spirit. There's the breath of God. When God made man, God breathed into man and you became a spirit. Then you have a soul and you live in a body. Okay, so you're spirit, soul, and body. Let's look at this illustration. A spirit, soul, and body. So you are a spirit, that's a real you. And then you have a mind, a soul, and you have a body. In Romans 8, it says this in verse 10. If Christ is in you, and He is for all believers, the body is dead because of sin. Now, here's where we can be in despair and start thinking, wow, what's the point then? Our body is dead. Even Christ is in us. The body is still dead because of sin. But no, keep on reading. But the spirit is what? Life because of righteousness. But you can say, oh, Pastor Prince, the body is dead, but the spirit is life, but it's not affecting my body. My body is still dead. No, friend, keep on reading. The spirit is life because of, remember this, because of righteousness. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Remember that? There's a gift of righteousness and you have received that. Now, the next verse tells you, but if the spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. One more time. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, does He dwell in you? The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? Yes. If you're a believer, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to what? To your mortal bodies. Friend, this is not the rapture. This is not the second coming of the Lord, because we will receive a brand new incorruptible body. But here, He will give life to your present tense, mortal bodies, your here and now bodies, that same body that is subject to decay, there's a disease and death, that body, that's why it's called mortal. So this life that comes from the Holy Spirit is to give life to your mortal bodies. A lot of people take this verse and say it will happen in the rapture. No, no, friend. It's giving life to your mortal bodies. In the rapture, we receive a incorruptible body. Here is giving life to your mortal bodies. I hope that you see that. Okay, you see the wonderful triune God twice in this one verse. Look at the first part. If the Spirit of Him, the Holy Spirit. Spirit is the Holy Spirit of Him. That's the Father who raised Jesus. That's the Son. From the dead dwells in you. He, the Father who raised Christ, the Son, from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. The triune God is mentioned twice in one verse. I think God is calling our attention. He's saying, when He created man, He was personally involved. His love, His care, His grace. So how much more when it comes to your body receiving life? Friend, God wants you to be healthy. God wants you to be strong. And just in one verse, the triune God is mentioned twice. Hallelujah. Isn't that something that will grip you? And friend, it's to give life to your mortal body. But you say that, but the Bible says, even Christ is in me, Pastor. The body is dead, even though my spirit is alive. But no, friend, read carefully. The next verse says, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. He will give life to your mortal bodies. It must be something to do with righteousness, because here it says in the verse before that, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit is life because of righteousness. And this entire Romans 8, this is Romans 8. If you read the first part of Romans 8, it starts off by saying, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And then he goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And then he goes on to tell you, on and on the first part, about setting your mind on the Spirit and not on the flesh. It tells you to be spiritually minded and not carnally minded, material minded. In other words, he's telling you this, don't be conscious of what is carnal. It's all in your mind, your consciousness. And he goes on top of you, set your mind on the Spirit. For those who set their mind on the Spirit is life, there's the word life, and peace, shalom in the Hebrew, which is also well-being, wholeness, life and well-being, life and wholeness. To set your mind on the Spirit. So let's look at the illustration again. All right, it says your spirit is born again. For those who believe on Christ, all believers, your spirit is alive to God. Amen. That's where you are born again, Spirit. Now, your spirit is also righteous. We are created in righteousness and true holiness. So Romans 8 tells you, before the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead can give life to your mortal body, which is the next verse, it tells you that spirit is alive because of righteousness. You've been made righteous. Hallelujah. So there's power, my friend, in confessing I am the righteousness of God in Christ. So the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And then in Romans 8, it tells you what? Set your mind on the Spirit. In other words, what's there in the Spirit? Praise the Lord, you are righteous. That's what, because your spirit is life because of righteousness. So set your mind on righteousness. Friend, set your mind on the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Confess it, believe it, and walk in it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The more you confess it, the more you believe it, the more you set your mind on this, it's spirit and life. Praise the Lord. And then watch this. That life, that Zoe life in your spirit, if you set your mind on it, it will permeate the soul. That's your emotions, right? Your emotional realm, your mental realm, your mind realm. That's where depression attacks. Well, when that life flows into your mind, out goes depression. Praise the Lord. And then when your mind, the mind is the bridge between the spirit and the body. Can you see that? It is the go-between. In other words, if your soul breaks down, if you don't get this revelation, you do not know mentally, right? Your mind, soul is the mind, all right? And the emotions. If mentally you're not setting your mind on the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, there's a breakdown. But if you know and you confess it, praise God. Thank God for all the ministries that point you to that wonderful righteousness that's available, that gift of righteousness through Christ Jesus. He came to give you that righteousness, that gift of righteousness. It is not something you achieve, all right? That's why a pride is self-righteousness, but it's something that you receive. Praise the Lord, a gift of righteousness. Isn't it wonderful? And you set your mind, once you know that means your mind is aware of it. The conscience is so important, then it will affect it's a bridge to your body. The spirit cannot just touch the body. And where is the Holy Spirit? It's also in your spirit. So the spirit cannot touch the body until the mind plays the bridge. And the mind must be touched by the fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, and the life that is in the spirit will touch the body. And that's when the next verse comes in. The Holy Spirit will quicken your mortal body. He will give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. Woo! Hallelujah! Man, I just preached myself happy. I don't know about you, man, but I feel like I can tear a lion apart like Samson. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name you receive that life, my friend. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, this life, even the Apostle Paul says in Philippians, he says this, and be found in Him. I want to be found in Him, in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. And that's where pride comes in. But that which is through faith in Christ, I don't want to have my own righteousness, which is from the law. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And what's going to happen? That I may know Him. Hallelujah, friend. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. in order that I know him. The word that there means in order that I know him, that I may know him, so that I can know him. In other words, righteousness by faith must be received, must be understood. You must be conscious of it. You must thank God for it. You must confess it, praise the Lord. And then what's going to happen? You'll get to know God. People want to know God. But the way to know God is actually, you know, just coming to God and say, Lord, I want to know you more and all that. And then people can have their own, they can project into God their own ideas. It must be scriptural. It must be word-based. And the way the Word of God says you know God is to, first of all, realize the righteousness of God by faith. You must receive this first. You must receive the fact that you are righteous by faith. You must confess, I'm the righteousness of God by faith in Christ. And you just be surprised. In fact, that's my experience. I was surprised. The more I confess that, the more I feel like I'm getting to know God. Amen? Now, I'm still a work in progress, okay? I'm still getting to know God. But doesn't the New Covenant tell you that, friend? Doesn't the New Covenant tell you that God says, I'll be their God. None shall teach one another, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Why? For means because I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins I'll remember no more. So the clause that makes everything else that precedes happen is I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins I'll remember no more. So the more we preach about forgiveness of sins, and the more people believe that, they get to know the Lord from the least to the greatest. Then God can be their God and they will be His people in a practical way. There's a term used for the miraculous. When God says, I'll be your God, He will open up the Red Sea for you. He will heal your body. He will make a way where there's no way, supernaturally. All right? It's a term of the miraculous. I'll be your God and you shall be my people. And then He also tells you, none will teach, right? As well as also, I will write my laws on their hearts and on their minds. Notice, it's no more outward. You will know what God wants on the inside. Amen. He will lead you and guide you from the inside. But this doesn't happen just by wanting this to happen. This happened by realizing all these clauses happen because I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins I remember no more. By the way, in the New Covenant, it says, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. It's oida, which is an inner knowing. It's an intuitive knowing. It's not an outward knowing like, know the Lord, no one shall teach. Know the Lord, ginosko, by experience. But everyone will know me intuitively. Why? Because they know that their sins are forgiven. So the more you know your sins are forgiven, the more you will know God. So any teaching that tells you, that makes you not assured your sins are forgiven, or try to take away that assurance, will not help you to know God. All right? It will negate that. So by the same token, in Philippians, we saw that the more you want to be found in Christ, not having your own righteousness, which is from the law, but the righteousness of God by faith, then you will know Him. And not only know Him, keep on reading, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Whoa! Isn't this Romans 8:11, the Holy Spirit giving life to your mortal body, that I may know His resurrection. But friend, Paul is already safe. In other words, that resurrection power already touched his spirit when he was born again. All of us who are born again have received resurrection life. That's how we are raised from our spiritual death into life, right? But he's talking about knowing God intimately and the power of His resurrection. In other words, it will affect your body. The power of His resurrection. Ooh, hallelujah. But notice what precedes it. Righteousness of God by faith. Not self-righteousness, but righteousness of God by faith. You must realize it, study on it, be conscious of it, and then you will know God, that I may know Him. Amen. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Praise the Lord. I pray this has blessed you. Friend, we got so much more to share, and keep on tuning in the days to come. But friend, while we're waiting for the Lord Jesus to come, God doesn't want you to suffer sickness or disease in your body. But realize this, if you are suffering, there's no condemnation. Listen carefully. All right, we're all struggling with some sort of a limitation or physical weakness or mental infirmity in some way, shape or form. And we are all learning from Scripture. We're all learning what Jesus did at the cross. We're still learning, amen, as much as we can. And we know that that the Bible tells us the last enemy to be put under our feet is death, which means what? Disease must be put under his feet, right? Because if death is the last enemy, then COVID-19 and with all its variants, amen, and disease, aging, will all be put under his feet. Then the final one, the last enemy, death will be put under his feet. So we are looking forward. We have a bright future for those who believe in Jesus. All right, we are believing God for a revelation. It must be from the scriptures. If someone comes and tells you an angel appeared to him to give the keys to overcoming death and all that, all right, friend, don't believe that. Amen. Don't for one moment think that God will bypass his word. All this must come from the word. Amen. So in the weeks to come, continue tuning in. Amen. And I'm believing God with you that God will give us a personal revelation from his word. There must be a revelation in these last days for his people to be alive and remain alive unto the coming of the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. I want to pray for you. If you're sick in your body, whatever ailment it may be, we want that resurrection life that is inside you. You see, many a times we think that healing is from outside in. And that is true. When Jesus was walking on earth, He is the life of God personified. Amen. He says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So to the blind man, he ministered life by opening his eyes. When life touched blindness, blindness departed. Amen. And the man received sight. So, but notice it's outside in. When he touched the leper was cleansed. Amen. The leper was healed. It was outside in. So healing was outside in. Because there were no believers. There were disciples, followers, but there were no believers. There were no people, no one was born again because Jesus has not yet died at the cross at that time. When he died and rose again, remember he breathed on his disciples the Holy Spirit. That's when they were born again. Then in the upper room, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So no one is born again without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given because Jesus has been glorified. That is after the cross, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. So friend, in the past, even the Gospels, healing was outside in. And we still pray for people. Don't misunderstand me. All right. We still pray for people. We go and pray for them. But I believe that God has a realm whereby, you know, he wants that life on the inside to permeate our soul and then touch our body. Amen. He wants us to walk in that resurrection life. That's what he's revealing to us. Amen. Now that believers are in the here. Amen. And they were, when I say believers, those who are born again, all right? The disciples were believers. Don't misunderstand me. They were followers, but they were not born again. They cannot be born again because Christ has not yet died and not yet risen from the dead. So after Christ died, believers have the Holy Spirit in them. Yes, now we are a living, walking, mobile life of God and the power of God and the healing of God, touching those who are sick and afflicted. Yes, and that's God's ministry for you, friend. But realize for yourself, God wants that life on the inside to touch you. It's from the inside out. Today is from the inside out. Amen. And the Holy Spirit wants to give life to your mortal body. But where's the Holy Spirit? He's inside you. So there seems to be like a hindrance, if I can say so. And it's got to do with the soul realm. The soul is not renewed. The mind is not renewed in this area. The soul is still very carnal. In other words, sense ruled. It is conscious of its sins and its failures and the bodily ailments and the darkness in this world. So it is not set on the Spirit. And that's why preaching like this will help people to set their minds on the Spirit. I want to pray for your bodies right now in the name of Jesus. If there's affliction in any way, or there's a loved one that is in the hospital right now, you know, you can even send that word by proxy. Praise the Lord. Because you know why? God sends his word. There's a verse that says he sent his word. Amen. And the word of God is in the timeless, spaceless realm. So God can touch him right where he is. Amen. Lift your hands wherever you're watching this right now. Now, if you're afflicted in that area of your body, wherever you are, right, just place your hand there. Amen. If you do not know where to place your hand, just place your hand on your forehead. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that healing belongs to your people. Healing belongs to us. Wholeness belongs to us. And you're not satisfied, Lord Jesus, just for us to have a trickle of life, just a little dab here, Lord. You want us to have life more abundantly. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. What a heart. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that as you look at all these people that are suffering in the different parts of their bodies, I thank you that you stand ready, Lord, to touch them, to heal them. And even right now, in the name of Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me, friend, because it's going to release that life, that resurrection life on the inside to touch your body. Say this right now before the Father. Father, I thank you that you have made me the righteousness of God in Christ. Say that. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. All my sins, past, present, and future, have all been removed. I thank you that your life, your resurrection life, is in my spirit. Now, in the name of Jesus, let it flow into my mind. Let it flow into my emotions. Let it flow into my soul. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, heal my body. Let it touch my body right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I command that foul spirit of infirmity that's afflicting your body right now. I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loose him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and let him go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I see a lady. I think you just received news that there's a number of they found a number of cysts in your womb, and it seems like the report wasn't so positive, and I see you in fear, I see you in anxiety, and right now you're feeling warmth going into your womb. Right now, God is healing you. Amen. Go back and get the doctor's certification. You are healed, sister. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see someone with a blockage in their artery, and you received this news not too long ago, and you've been worried. For some reason, you can't get out of this concern and worry you have. But friend, you're feeling life. Like as I was preaching just now, it happened as I was sharing the word just now. Life started being infused into your body. Friend, you are healed. That blockage has been removed in the name of Jesus. You have a young, dynamic, amen, healthy heart that's beating with the rhythm of grace. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Someone who is having, you know, like, I see you having blood vision and all that, and you're concerned about your brain. The Lord is healing you right now, friend. You're seeing like never before. You're seeing clarity. You're seeing brightness and vivid colors. And a friend, that brain is taken care of. No worries, amen. That's what is for you. You are healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who have joint conditions, whatever joint condition, whether it's, I'm getting real fast words of knowledge about people experiencing a shoulder condition and a joint condition, a knee condition, that God is healing all this even now as I speak in Jesus' name. And get up, start moving that area, move that knee, move that shoulder, and see what the Lord has done. You are healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Now, friend, if you're watching this and you have never made Jesus Christ your personal Savior and Lord, we're not asking you to join a church. We're not asking you to join a religion. We are asking you to be born again and receive that life that brings you out of death. Hallelujah. So if that is you, pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Christ died for my sins on that cross. He was buried, and on the third day, you raised him from the dead. And that same life is now released inside me. Because Jesus Christ, say it, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I thank you, Father God, that life that raised Jesus from the dead is now inside me and is permeating my spirit, soul, and body. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Someone is praying that for the first time, and this is all new to you, and you just got healed in your body. You just got healed. And I think it's like a back condition, and you've been experiencing pain even this past night. You actually toss and turning because of that pain, and now that pain is all gone. That pain, move around, see what the Lord has done, and you receive Jesus at the same time. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Stand to your feet, church. Now, I've not finished all that I want to share. So in the weeks to come, I want to be sensitive to the Lord. As the Lord leads me, I'll be sharing more. Praise the Lord. I always want to make sure that the word that I bring forth is a word in season. So it may become a series. Hallelujah. Keep tuning in. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands to the Lord, people. Hallelujah. This coming week, wherever you go, the Lord Jesus Christ watches over you and protects you and keeps you like a shepherd watches over his sheep. He protects you and your family from the COVID-19 virus, from every infection, from every disease. He guards and keeps you and your loved ones throughout this week from every danger and harm and from the evil day. The Lord protects you and guards you from all the power of the evil one. He is your good shepherd. And throughout this week, every day of this week, surely, not maybe, goodness, His goodness and His chesed grace and goodness and mercies will follow you all the days of this week. Praise the name of Jesus.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
Two major truths that God wants to bless your lives with: divine strength and youthfulness.
This month, we would love to send you Joseph's brand new 3-CD album, Experience Divine Life, Health, and Strength, as a thank you for your gift of any amount. Discover biblical secrets to walking in divine health and youthfulness. Learn how the renewal of youth and divine strength are your inheritance in Christ and how to experience them in your life. And for a specific gift, receive the My God Will Provide package, including the Secrets of Divine Strength and Youthfulness CD and DVD series. Listen and watch as Joseph reveals from the Bible how Sarah, Moses, and Caleb received divine strength and health, and build your faith to believe that God can do the same for you.
The Bible says, "But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint."
Don't miss out on these life-giving resources. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
Dear friends, can I invite you to join us online at Grace Revolution Church? We planted Grace Revolution Church with a mission to bring together communities of grace believers looking for a church to call home. Now our services are also being broadcast online every Sunday. You can join us for a time of worship, partaking of the Holy Communion, and watch one of my most recent sermons from wherever you are across the United States. I believe that there is a corporate anointing whenever we come together to worship the Lord as the body of Christ, even online. So if you're looking to be part of a community of grace believers, join us for service every Sunday. God bless you, and I'll see you online for church this weekend.
For this life is just the start.
Dear friends, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus across America and around the world. Thanks to the support and prayers of all our JPM partners, Millions of people worldwide are discovering the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of your support, we have been able to embark on new initiatives to reach out to more communities with the gospel. For instance, we have translated our messages into Spanish and Bahasa Indonesia, two of the most widely spoken languages in the world. Our Joseph Prince Spanish YouTube channel now has over 25,000 subscribers, and that number is growing quickly. With Spanish spoken by 500 million people, we are excited for millions more to encounter the person of Jesus and the power of His grace.
As the good news of Jesus is shared in these communities, many who were trapped by guilt and depression are now experiencing His amazing love and grace. They are discovering their forgiveness in Christ and seeing many breakthroughs. Thank you, JPM Partners, for making all this possible through your faithful and generous giving.
If you're not yet a partner and you believe this is good ground to sow into, will you prayerfully consider becoming a partner with us today? And if you have Spanish or Bahasa Indonesia speaking friends who need to hear the message of God's grace, would you also take a moment to share the links below with them and be an ambassador of His grace? Wendy and I are praying for you to experience the Lord's favor and shalom peace in every area of your life. God bless you.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.